But Leviticus chapter number 26, I believe the Lord will have us look at verse number 3. If you will, please stand as we read this evening. The Bible says, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach into vintage, and the vintage shall reach until sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and be your God, and ye shall be my people. And I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go upright." And I believe this evening the Lord will have us look at this thought, the rewards for obedience. The rewards for obedience. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for your Spirit. And Lord, how sweet it is, and God, how real it is. Lord, we're grateful for the times that we get to feel your Spirit, God, and it's moving. And Lord, it's moving today. And God, I pray that you'll help us, God, to preach your word. God, get us out of the way. God, clear anything that's going on outside of these walls. God, put a hedge of protection around about us. And God, help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I said, I believe the Lord will have us look at the rewards for obedience. 35,000. Anybody might know what that number means. 35,000. 35,000 is the number of choices we make each and every day. 35,000. Now, that's a large number. So there was this man who decided he was going to siphon some gas out of a motorhome. And he went up to the motorhome. He put the siphoning hose into the gas tank, and he began to siphon out the gas. When the police got there, they tried to ask the man who owned the motorhome what happened. But he could not stop from laughing to answer them. It seemed that the man had put the hose into the sewage tank instead of the gas tank. You see, this man made a choice to steal from another man, and we see that he paid a consequence that he was not expecting. Each and every one of those choices, each and every 35,000 choices that we make, has a consequence in our life. Whether it's a positive impact or a positive consequence, or it's a negative impact or a negative consequence in our life, from the small ones to the big ones, each and every one could change our life each and every day. And I think the same is here for the children of Israel. The children of Israel here in our reading had a choice to make. In the previous chapters of Leviticus and even into Exodus, we find that Moses has led his people out of Egypt, out of captivity into Egypt. And they have found themselves at Mount Sinai. And there at Mount Sinai, we know that the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments. He's given them instructions on how to build the tabernacle. He's gave them instructions on how to have offerings, priesthood, how they are to live. He's given them instructions everywhere from what they should eat and how somebody is unclean or if they're clean. But we see that they have now been given a choice. God has done his part, and he's told them what to do, and now they have been given the choice. It says, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them." So we see that choice that they have, and we see that you have the choice to either be obedient. They can follow his statutes and obey him and do what he's asking them to do, or they can be disobedient. There's no in-between. It's disobedience or obedience. And we see through these verses that there are some rewards for obedience. But before I go through those verses, I want to point out the reason why we are obedient. What's the reason? What's the point that we are obedient and we follow after God's commandments? Turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 14. The book of John, chapter number 14. Did you know that by obeying God and listening to his commandments, it shows that we have genuine love for him? The book of John, chapter number 14, in verse 15, it says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Go on down to verse number 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, and Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. Do you love the Lord this evening? If you love the Lord, that's why we obey him, and that's why we walk in his commandments and obey his commandments. It's because it's a way that we can show our love to him. Now look at verse 24. It says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So here we see that this morning Pastor Darren mentioned Malachi 2:2. He told the priest in Malachi, if they don't hear or lay it to heart and give him glory, that he will curse their blessings. You see, God was looking for the priest to be obedient and to give him glory. The reason God would curse their blessings is because disobedience, not hearing his words and obeying his words, is showing that we don't love him. Not only do we not love him, but we don't love the Father, because it's the Father's words who were giving it to him. And so we see our obedience shows our love for him, which is what God truly wants. You see, if we show our love to him and obey him, that shows us that we love him, and that means that we are his, and that's what he wants. He wants you. He wants to be your God and wants you to be his people. So I believe God is trying to encourage somebody this morning, through this morning message this morning and through the message this evening, to be obedient. Through obedience, firstly, I see that there is prosperous, and you'll see in a minute that word prosperous. The Bible says in verse 3, back in our text in Leviticus, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. God here gives them the first reward they will see if they are obedient. He will cause their land to be prosperous. He will cause their grain to be prosperous. He says, I will give you rain in due season. I believe it's important to note here the land that he was talking about in verse number 4. We see that land that shall yield her increase is the promised land. It's the land of Canaan. And I also believe it's important to point out that Canaan differed quite differently from Egypt, which the children of Israel was used to. Deuteronomy 10 through 11 says, for the land whither thou goest in it to possess it is not the land of Egypt, not as the land of Egypt from which he came out, where thou sowedest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. You see, Egypt, which they were used to, was a land full of rivers. So the way that they would water their crops and water their fields would be through the rivers. They could just water it anytime they wanted to. But you see, the land that they were going to and they were promised, Canaan, they didn't have rivers. They had to rely on the hand of God, the providential hand of God, to send rain upon their land, or their land, so that their land would yield its increase. I guess it's safe to say that all good things truly do come from above. And then we see that I had to study what verse number 5 means. I didn't understand what threshing and vintage means. So as I began to study that, I began to realize that threshing would oftentimes happen after the harvest. So after the harvest and they cut down the crops, they would go through and they would gather those crops and they would start beating them on the ground. Or they would let their ox or their cows and mules and stuff walk across it, and they would produce seed that they would gather. And so that is threshing. Threshing oftentimes would take place in around March. And then after that, they would have the vintage, which the vintage is just a wine harvest. And so it would typically take place around July. And then after a vintage would take place, it would come time to sow again, which would be around October. So God told the people that their land would be so prosperous that their threshing would last from March and right up to July. And then when the vintage would start, their vintage would last until October, when their sowing would begin again. You see, their harvest would be so prosperous. In verse number 10, it says, and ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. That means that they would have such an abundance of food and crops that they would have to get rid of the old food just to make way for the new food. And I believe that just goes right along with what Pastor Darren preached on this morning. Sometimes we have to lay down some of the old blessings that God has given us to make way for the new blessings that God is wanting to try to give us. You see, it already blessed their land with old vintage and old stores and food and stuff, but God has blessing them so much that they had to get rid of their old blessings and make way for their new blessings. When we are living for God and we are obeying Him and walking Him in His statutes, He will bless us time and time again. And I'm not talking about riches and fame, but I'm talking about the blessings of being able to wake up in a warm bed. I'm talking about the blessings of not having to worry where your next meal is going to come from. I'm talking about the blessings of being able to come to a church where the Spirit is moving. I'm talking about the blessings of getting to serve Him each and every day. And then we see at the end of verse number 5, it says, "And ye shall eat your bread to the full." I think about that fullness. It represents satisfaction. Psalms 22 and 26 says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied." I think about this. There is no other satisfaction or better satisfaction that comes from the Lord and from God. If it comes from serving Him and living for Him, nothing blesses my soul more than being able to obey Him and to be able to be here, to be able to preach His word, to be able to serve Him and to worship Him each and every day. It's a satisfaction that drug addicts, alcoholics look for each and every day. It's a satisfaction that lost ones look for, but they can't find it because it only comes from God above. And when we are living for Him and obeying Him and walking in His statutes, it's a life, if we are living for Him and obeying Him, that will be a prosperous one in His ways. But also we see that there is a prosperous in growth. In verse number 9, he says, "For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant." Here we see that he's given them the promise that if they will obey him, walk in his statutes and keep his commandments, that he will make them fruitful and they will multiply. That's the same promise that he made Abraham in the covenant that he made with Abraham. He's saying that he will make them grow and they will continue to grow as a people. I think about that growth in our life. If we obey Him and we are living for Him, then we'll have growth in our personal life, in our Christian walk with Him. He'll help us to grow. We'll get closer to God. We'll find that our study gets deeper with Him. Our prayer life gets better. And also our church. Our church will begin to grow when we are living for Him and obeying Him. I think about this new Connect group that is taking place. It's not going to grow unless we obey God and do what God wants us to do. So we will see growth in our life when we are living for Him and obeying Him. But also I see there is peace and protection. Verse number 6 says, "And I will give you peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid." This peace that will be given will only come from the divine protection that God can provide. And it comes from His people and their obedience to Him. It's peace and protection from their enemies. Verse number 5 says that they will dwell in their land safely. And then at the end of verse number 6, it says, "Neither shall the sword go through your land, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." I think about Gideon. Gideon had an army of about 32,000 people, and God said that Gideon had too many people in his army. You see, they were going to have to go to war against the Midianites. The Midianites had about 135,000. So 135,000 versus 32,000 people, they were already outnumbered. But God said, "You got too many people, and you're going to have to reduce your people." So God told Gideon to go to his people and tell them, "If you're scared, I need you to leave." So out of those 32,000, after that, only 10,000 remained. And then God said, "Well, that's too many too. You're going to have to reduce your size even more." So God told Gideon that to tell his people to go down and to drink water. And so the ones that would lap, put the water in their hands and lap it like a dog, he said, "Those are the ones that you would go to war with. But those that don't do that and get on their knees and put their face in the water to drink, those you need to cast away." And so out of the 10,000, only 300 remained. 300 of Gideon's people versus 135,000 of the Midianites. But God made them victorious over their enemy. I want you to notice, though, that it doesn't say that there will not be a fight at all, that there will not be battles to take place. You see, there will still be battles and taking place. Even though they are being obedient, they will still have to fight battles. But God just said that He will be prosperous and they will be victorious over their enemies and that they will chase them. With few, God can do much. Even when you obey Him, you are walking through His statutes, you might have to face some battles. But you can have peace in knowing that God will fight those battles with you and that God will be with you and He can protect you so you can rest your head at night and rest assured that God will protect you. Also learn that oftentimes in the war, where the point where most of the people would be killed is when they are retreating and going away. God told them in verse number 7, "You shall chase your enemies and they shall fall before you by the sword." I think about the enemies that we all have today. Each and every one of us, we face the enemies of the world. We face the enemy of our flesh, and we face the enemy of Satan. And I think about that, and I think about there will come a day when Satan will know that his time is up, and he will try to flee the wrath that is to come. But God will toss him into the lake of fire, and God will provide us protection from him and all our enemies. But we see also that there is protection and peace with each other. In verse number 6, he says, I will give you peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. You see, there will be peace in the land if they walk and obey him. You see that they can rest assured that they will have peace with one another. I want you to think about this for a minute. God's already talked about how they will have increase in their field. But let's talk about and think about if they didn't have that. Let's think about some of the times when maybe they didn't have as much prosperous in their crops as they wanted to. So let's say my family did a little bit better than one of your family members did. And so we've rationed our food a little bit better. So I have more food, but you run out of food. And so I might have to worry that some people are going to come steal the food that I have. But God's already said that he would make them have increase in their land, so they would not have to worry about each other and robbing one another. You see that there will be peace in their land with each other as well. But also there will be peace from evil beasts. In verse number 6, it said, I will rid evil beasts out of the land. We see here, I think about in this text, this evening, the text, the evil beasts that he is speaking of. The evil beasts that they had to worry about in their time would be lions, bears, tigers, oh my. I'm joking. Anyways, it's lions, tigers, and wolves that they were had to be threatened against them. But in verse 22, God says that he will send those evil beasts that would rob them of their children, of the cattle, and make them few in number. And so we see that those evil beasts, they could devour them. They could consume them. They could destroy them, rip them up, and tear them out if they disobeyed God. But I think about this morning about God trying to call somebody, trying to get us to be obedient. Even when we're going through trials and tribulations, we have to be obedient. Sometimes we might be afraid. We might be afraid and be hesitant to be obedient to him and the callings that he's trying to place in our lives. We think about the evil beasts that are out there to get us, the enemies that are walking around us that might try to consume us. We might be worried about our coworkers. What are our coworkers going to think? What's our husband going to think? Our wife, our children, our parents, what are they going to think? But God says if we will obey him and keep his commandments, then he will protect us from those evil beasts that are trying to consume us. God, like the Father he is the protector of all his children, and we are his children. But lastly, I see also that there is a provision that is to take place. Look with me in verse number 40 of this chapter. Verse number 40, it says, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, and that I have also walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember. And I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because even when they despised their judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them out, and will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. I think about that word provision. Provision means that God will provide them something. Think about verses 14 through 39, which is what I originally wanted to preach on, but God told me no. He stopped me from preaching on that. But God gives punishments and the results of disobedience. And if we are disobedient to his callings, and we are disobedient to what he tells us to do, he gives the results. He says that there will be results, will be appointment of terror, consumption, that their eyes will be consumed, that there will be sorrow of the heart. Their enemies will overtake them and kill them. His face will be set against them. They'll flee when no one pursues them. There will be plagues. There won't be any crops. not fruitfulness, eating of each other's flesh. I can go on and on about what God will says the results of their disobedience will be. And I think about this evening, throughout the message, you might be thinking, well, maybe I haven't been as obedient as I ought to. You know, God's told me to do stuff and I haven't done it like I ought to. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I'm lost. I'm not even saved. I've been disobedient my whole life. I've been walking contrary to God my whole life. But in verse 40, we see that God provided a way out for the children of Israel when they turned away from Him. He says, if they confess their iniquity before Him, confess that they have walked contrary to Him, that they confess that and accept their punishment that they will need to go through, He will remember the covenants He made and He will not cast them out even though they deserve it. He will still be their God. And I think about that provision that He made and that He says if they confess, each and every part of that is a promise that God has made, and you can take God at His word that He will keep His promises. In their day, God provided a way out and a way for the forgiveness of their sins through a lamb. A lamb would be taken before the priest, and the priest would kill that lamb and sacrifice that lamb, and it would be slain as an offering for the remission of their sins and the forgiveness of their sins and through a priest. But a little over 2,000 years ago, God provided us a way out of our sins and our wrongdoings by providing us the Lamb who gave His life and gave His blood, and His blood was shed so that we might have eternal life, and that all the whole world, each and every one of us, what can accept Him as our Lord and Savior and be forgiven of our sins. Each and every one of us fall short of the glory of God each and every day. And each and every day, even if you're saved, you still sin, but it's all been covered by the blood. But when we mess up and we get out on our way and we are disobedient to God, all we have to do is confess before Him, and He'll be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But I believe this evening that God wants us to be obedient to His call. I believe that's why the Lord mentioned it this morning, being obedient. And yes, sometimes that does include some laying down some of the old blessings that He has given us to make room for the new blessings. But God wants us to be obedient. I believe He's calling somebody and trying to work in somebody's life to be obedient to Him. And so that's why I believe God wants us to look at, or made us look at, the rewards of His obedience. But remember, it's not about the rewards as well. It's all about loving Him and showing our love for Him.